share. Oh, it was about 30 years ago. I was looking in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst of them. Okay. We're going to use this one or just use the one on the pulpit? Is it going to work? Are they going to interfere with each other? Okay. Matthew 18:20, it says, where two or three are gathered together. And the first time I broke bread with the believers in North Carolina, it was a little farmhouse about 20 miles from Raleigh. And there were about 25 or 30 people there. And God impressed upon me the preciousness of the breaking of the bread. And some of the elderly brothers there led the meeting, and I thought that was wonderful. And one of the brothers had been an engineer building the Panama Canal. So, and he loved the Lord, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I wrote a little song about that. I'm going to try to sing it, and then I'm going to ask you to sing it with me. I think I've shared this with some of you before, and if you can learn it, you'll be able to sing it when you're washing the dishes during the week, thanking God for his goodness. I'll sing it first. It goes like this. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he promised to be with us, and this his word we claim. We turn our eyes to Jesus and thank him that he came and shed his blood to save us. Sing glory to his name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the love you gave. Thank you for the grace to save. Thanks for victory o'er the grave. Thank you for saving me. And so, people often ask us, where do you worship? And of course, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And so the where, that's the place. And you and I know that's at the feet of Jesus. That's where we worship. Where, that's the place. Two or three are gathered together, that's the grace. It's not we just gathering together. We are gathered together. And so that's the grace. And then there I am in the face. That's the face. And so maybe I have too much static electricity in me, so I'm going to just use the mic that's on the podium. And so that's the face. And so remember those three things when you sing it, okay? Let's try it together as a group, okay? Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he promised to be with us, and this his word we claim. We turn our eyes to Jesus and thank him that he came and shed his blood to save us. Sing glory to his name.
thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the love you gave. Thank you for the grace to save. Thanks for victory o'er the grave. Thank you for saving me.
All right, sounded really, really good. Try that when you're washing the dishes or you're feeling kind of down, and that just reminds you how good God is. Would you open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11, and then also Joshua chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and Joshua chapter 1. The last time I was here, I believe I spoke about the choice that we have to make in our lives between the kingdom of God and the magic kingdom. And there has always been a magic kingdom long before Mickey Mouse. There was a magic kingdom. We read about it in the book of Exodus, where Pharaoh calls his magicians and his sorcerers in an attempt to reverse engineer the miracles that Moses was doing. And Moses had to choose between one of two kingdoms, and the Bible says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren are being mesmerized by the magic kingdom and its electric light parades. And if we're not careful, they'll be carried away, just like the children of the Pied Piper, by all of the razzle-dazzle and the lies of the devil. And so Moses is a perfect example of a man who sought God first. And so this morning I would like to pick up that theme once again and speak on the subject and the topic of Moses and, of course, Joshua as well. Hebrews chapter 11, and this is his testimony, this is his life story, and I have a life story and you have a life story, and see how closely it parallels the life of the believer, okay? And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. Verse 23 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, and the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. And then Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. The lesson is, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. Lord, we pray that as we turn our attention to thy word, as we turn our hearts to heaven, that thou would speak to us. I pray that if there's someone here who knows thee not, they might come to faith today. I pray that there's someone discouraged, that you might encourage them. If there's someone here seeking wisdom, that thou would give them light. If someone needs encouragement, that thou would lift them up. That Jesus Christ would be glorified and his name magnified. In his most wonderful name we pray. Amen. A bird without its feathers, a lion without its roar, a stamp without a letter, a house without a door, a summer without its sunshine, a storm cloud without rain, an atheist, a man who says there is no God, his life a crying shame, a turtle without its hard shell, a ship without a rudder, a village without a spring or well, a child without its mother, Noah without the God of grace, without the rainbow or an ark, Bartimaeus without Jesus, still sitting in the dark, like salt without its savor, an endless night without a day, food that has no flavor, or a sheep that lost its way. What good for man to gain the world when you count the awful toll, when truth on judgment day is unfurled, if you lose your eternal soul? As I was with Moses, I will be with you. These words God gave to Joshua as the fire of faith and the torch of truth was passed from one generation to another, like a baton in a relay race, moving along the track of time and space, until a millennial kingdom would come and the eternal Word, God's Son, would take his appointed place. Notice the key to the door of understanding and the entrance to the kingdom is found in the words, I will be with you. The word with is a preposition that connects words together. We like to say that Christianity is not a religion as much as a relationship. And the word with describes a relationship. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. It doesn't matter what Russia does, what China does, what Disneyland does. What's important is what you do with Jesus and what you are willing to let him do with you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. The same God that designed the bird and gave it its feathers, gave salt its savor, and food its flavor, made man in his own image, then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. It is God, God's presence, power, and plan, and purpose that makes man different than the animal. A godless life is a tragic life, and yet it is the story of humanity. From the Garden of Eden to the caves of Iwo Jima, sin has plagued, polluted, and poisoned this planet, filling it with chaos, corruption, and carnage. Jesus is the only hope and the only answer. 2,000 years ago, Emmanuel, which means God with us, came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, to them gives he power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. What does it mean to believe on his name? I thought I believed on his name, and if you would have asked me as a child if I believed in Jesus, I probably would have said yes. But I didn't know what believe meant until I was 21 years old. It wasn't until I saw my world collapse all around me, and I saw the chaos and the carnage of war and of mankind. And I asked, what's wrong with people? What's wrong with the world? And I discovered, as I said before, that I had the same problem that the world had. We were estranged from God, and we were at war with God. And until that war was settled, until I waved the white flag of surrender, I had no peace. And I heard the gospel. And for the first time in my life, like the prodigal son, I saw that my problem and the world's problem was the same. It was sin that separated us from God and God's goodness and God's grace and God's glory. And it's a wall that we put there by our own choices and our own decision, as well as by our birth. Faith, not the Santa Claus variety or the Disneyland variety, not the when you wish upon the star variety, but the Bible faith means to trust in, adhere to, and rely on. You've seen those plugs, those receptacles that you use to plug in your appliance, and it had two prongs to go into the wall. And then there's another one that has three prongs that go into the wall. Well, faith, Bible faith, has three prongs. It means to trust in, to adhere to, and rely on. All three. It's not a I wish so kind of a Pinocchio faith that the little wooden boy would become a boy. That's not faith at all. Bible faith is to trust in, to adhere to, and rely on. The first axiom of a good and healthy relationship is trust. You can't have a relationship without trust. You don't buy a used car from somebody you can't trust. You don't put your money in a bank or invest in a company that you don't trust. You don't marry someone. You don't stand at a marriage altar and give your life to somebody until, first of all, the very first thing you asked when you started to have a relationship with this person, you said, can I trust this person? And when you came to the conclusion that you could trust him, that's the basis of the relationship. And unfortunately, sometimes marriages fall apart when the trust collapses and there's no trust anymore. And sometimes there's justifiable reason for that. But not with God, not with Jesus. You can trust Jesus because Jesus is the truth. And you can trust the truth. Everything else is a lie. Everything else is an illusion. It's the Magic Kingdom's electric parade. It's not real. It's just show.
And so the first element of Bible faith is trust. And you came to a place in your life where you said, I can trust God. I know whom I have believed, said Paul, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I love that because he says, I know whom. He didn't say, I know what I have believed. He said, I know whom I have believed. Salvation is not in a doctrine or even a creed. Salvation is in a person, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins. I think of my earthly father. He had a reputation and a testimony. His word was his bond. If my father said something that he was going to do, he would do it. To his own hurt, he would keep his word. And so it's with that same spirit that the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's the first axiom of faith, to trust in. The second is to adhere to. That means to be with. To be with. When you go to the university and the professor stands at the blackboard and he writes the equation in chalk across the board, and he turns around to the class and he says, are you with me? And most of the students say, yeah, we're with you. And then one guy raises his hand in the back and says, Professor, I'm not with you. I don't understand. And he'll go through it again until the class is with him. Are you with me? It means you understand what I'm saying? I'm with you. I'm with you, Professor. Well, the second axiom of biblical faith is to understand what he's saying and to follow him. You follow me? You understand? Are you with me? Yeah. But it's not enough that you're with me. God wants you to be with him, to be with Jesus. Take the stamp and you put it on the envelope. And wherever that envelope goes, the stamp goes. Why? Because it's sticking to, it's with the envelope. It's a relationship of togetherness. The second axiom of Bible faith, biblical faith, trust in, adhere to stick with, to follow. And so Jesus said, follow me. And one day you said, Lord, I'll follow you. And Peter and James and John left their fish nets, the Bible says, and they followed him. But that doesn't end there. There's a third aspect. You and I can't do anything without him. And so we rely on him to do it. There are only two kinds of people in the world. Only two. And I don't mean Democrat and Republican. I don't mean male or female either. There seems to be some confusion about that, believe it or not. I don't mean rich or poor or white or black. It's a distinction more important, and it explains all of the chaos and carnage that we see and hear about. There are those with God and those without God. Moses learned the hard way what it was like to be on his own. When he attempted to be that community organizer to get the Egyptians and the Israelites to play nice together in the playground, it didn't work out. As a matter of fact, Moses lost his temper, and he killed somebody. And he was 40 years in the wilderness taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. He learned the hard way.
until one day the bush began to burn and the fire didn't go out, and Moses said, I got to go see what this is all about. And he walked over to the bush, and a voice came from the burning branches that said, take off your shoes, Moses, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. And Moses' response was immediately, who am I to go to Pharaoh? Who am I? 40 years before, he would say, I'm the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm a prince of Egypt. I grew up in the lap of luxury. I went to the finest institutions of learning. I walk on marble floors and eat off of alabaster tables and eat with ivory utensils. Then he came to the place in his life where he said, who am I? Exactly the place where God wants to find us. We realize that it's not us, but it's him in us and with us. The prodigal son learned the hard way. He finally came to himself and said, I will arise and go to my father. Being without his father, without food and without friends and without resources brought him to his senses. He said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make it right with my father. And so in any meeting like this, there's always a danger that somebody walks out of this place without God. And I tremble for them to go out into that world, as crazy as it is, without God. A bird without its feathers is nothing compared to a man without God. And then there's somebody else who comes to his senses and says, you know what? I want to be with God, and I want God to be with me. And then there's others that walk out of here and say, you know what? The Word of God has helped me to remember how grateful I should be that Emmanuel came to be with us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. God sent an angel named Gabriel to a maiden named Mary. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came and said unto her, look at this, hail, thou art highly favored. That is grace. We often say grace is unmerited favor. Well, this is grace, to be highly favored of God, to be highly favored by God. For by grace are you saved through faith, in it not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so what happens to Mary is she experiences what you experience, what I experience, what Moses experienced, what Joshua experienced, the grace of God. Mary, hail Mary, thou art highly favored. That's grace. Grace is God working in you, God working in me, both to will and to do his good pleasure. God at work, grace. That's why you can't be saved without grace. Thou art highly favored. Well, what does that mean? Look at it. The Lord is with thee. Two kinds of people in the world, those with God and those without God, those who reject God's grace and those that are with God's grace, in God's grace, by God's grace. two kinds of people in the world, and there are two kinds of people here today, those with God and those without God. I hope everyone here is with God, but you never know. But how do I know that I'm with God? How do I know that I am highly favored and I am with God like Mary? Well, look at the next verse, verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." See, once you come to the place where you agree with God's word, agree with, understand, adhere to, that's God working in you. To agree with God, to disagree with God's word is to be without. And the wonderful thing about being with God, verse 37, with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's wonderful. With God, nothing shall be impossible. That's faith, to be with him. And Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. So there's two choices. To be with him, the one who to be with is to be able to say nothing is impossible. Wow. And the other is to be without him. And in the world without God, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 says to be a world without God is to be without hope. So it doesn't matter how crazy things are out in the world. It doesn't matter how politics is spinning out of control. It doesn't matter the fact that the world is becoming wobbly. It doesn't matter if they're arming the missiles right at this very moment. It doesn't matter if you're with God. When I knelt by that army bunk bed 55 years ago and surrendered. I waved the white flag and say, "Lord, I surrender. I throw up my hands as a sinner. I surrender." And they asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. When I got up, realizing that God's word was true and that you can trust the truth, I was humbled that he would save a sinner. When you trust Christ, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. When you trust Christ, you're humbled. You're not proud. We're not proud. And so when I got up from my prayer by that army bunk bed, I got up, I was humbled. I was a humbled person. But it was something else as well. Not only was I humbled, I was invincible. I was invincible. Why? Because God was with me. Nothing can happen to me but what God approves it. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." Oh, that's what it's all about, to be with him. And that's what I want to be. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. A short Sunday school lesson. How was he with Moses? He was with Moses from his creation, before Moses was even aware of God's presence, even before Moses was born. As we read this morning in Psalm 139, God had written all his members in a book. God had plans for Moses, and God has plans for you, and God has plans for me. None of us are here by mistake. God designed us on his drafting board long before we came into this world. He had a purpose and a plan for every single one of us. God was with Moses before he was born. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Wow. Second, God was with Moses in his weakness and in his helplessness. While he was a helpless little baby in the bulrushes, God was with him. But when we're weak and when we're at our weakest, that's when God can do his most. Nothing more helpless than a baby. When you bring that baby home from the hospital, go through the front door of your house, you don't say, the refrigerator is over there. And by the way, there's a restroom down the hall, turn left, second door. No, nothing more helpless than a baby. For the next year, in the middle of the night, you're going to get up to take care of this baby's needs. It's hungry. It needs to be changed. It needs to be hugged. It needs to be held. Nothing's more helpless. It can do nothing for itself. And God was with Moses when he was helpless and he was 3 months old and he was crying. And his mother could no longer keep him silent, I guess. And maybe she was afraid that the neighbors were going to rat her out to the police, and that they would come and take the baby and slaughter it because it was the law of the land. And so she said, there's nothing else I can do except give him up to God. God, I'm going to have to give him to you, and he's going to have to be with you. That's the greatest thing that a mother can do, to give their children to God and let God guide them and care for them. God was with Moses when he was in that little basket, helpless. And God was with you. And you didn't even know it. He was there when you were born. And he's never taken his eyes off you. Number three, he was with Moses in his good fortune. Moses, as I said, grew up in the lap of luxury. He had the finest of everything. The finest of clothing, the finest of food, the finest of education, everything. He lived in a palace. But to him, it was like the Apostle Paul said, I count it all but dung for Christ's sake. So many people, once they win the lottery, you'll never see them again because they can't handle riches. And riches has a way of stealing a person's heart, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. The rich young ruler had a chance to enter into the eternal life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He asked Jesus. And then he said, the price is too high. And he walked away, the Bible said, sorrowful, for he was a rich man. Well, Moses would have no sympathy for him, because Moses turned his back on all of Egypt and all of its gold and all of its splendor and all of its magic. Chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It was almost as if he said, keep the world and give me Jesus. That's Moses. God was with him in his riches and in his fortune. Number four, God was with Moses in his failure and his difficulty. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. These were years of obscurity. And Moses was not overtly aware of God's presence, but God was there. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Said the psalmist. If I make my bed in the wilderness or in hell, God is there, omnipresent. We often learn from failure more than we learn from success. So if there's anybody here that ever failed, God was with you. If there's anybody here that ever got a pink slip and know what that feels like, God was with you. You could testify to the fact. And anybody here ever suffered loss, they survived it and they say, you know what? God was with me. And that's where God found many of us. We had nowhere else to turn. And finally, we came to our senses like the prodigal, and we looked up and said, what an idiot I've been. I will arise and go to my father. He was with him in adversity. His own people didn't understand him or appreciate him. As a matter of fact, they hated being with him. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They were reluctant followers at best. But Moses was wearing the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. He was covered with the garment of humility. As a matter of fact, the Bible in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3 calls Moses the meekest man on earth. Wow. Now you don't see that at Barnum and Bailey Circus. They're the greatest show on earth. But Moses was the meekest man on earth. Apart from Jesus. None of us can come close to that. But it's when we're at the meek point that God is able to mold us, make us, use us, and be with us. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Number six, God was with Moses in his death. No one else came to the funeral. No one else was there. As far as we know, there was no eulogy, no obituary in the paper. There was no organist. There were no flowers. I don't think there was a sermon. Nobody was there at his funeral except God. God was there. And God's the only one who knows where he was buried. And God will be there the day I die, and the day you die, no matter who shows up, God will be there. So that's it? No, that's not it. Because we see Moses again after his... And that's what it's all about. Grace is God wanting to be with us. Emmanuel is God wanting to be with us. The big hand, grace, is reaching down, and the little hand, faith, reaches up. A place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I, without God, those that can live a life where nothing is impossible, because God is in the middle of it all, and somebody who is without Christ and can do nothing. That's the choice. A man dying on the cross, he was a thief. And his eyes were open in the last moments of his life. He might have heard Jesus preach, for all I know. We don't know. But he rebuked his other friend. He said, Dost thou not fear God? When the man was cursing Jesus on the cross. We indeed get our just deserts. This man has done nothing amiss. This man is lecturing his other thieving friend on the cross. What's wrong with you? He recognized that Jesus was who he claimed to be. He had faith in Jesus on the cross before he died. He says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what does Jesus say? Today, thou shalt be with me. Doesn't matter where you're going, wherever you're going. If I'm with you, it's okay, Lord. But he says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And people want to argue about where is paradise. No. The important thing is to be with him. Where's heaven? Is it up? Is it down? Is it over there? Is it over there? It's where Jesus is. And to be with him is the goal of our life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Fear thou not, God said to Isaiah, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Are you with me? Yeah. Are you with me? More important that you're with him. Because when you're with him,
you are humbled. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you're with him, you're humbled, but you're also invincible.
And there's nothing like that.
Jesus, the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The author and creator, my Savior, Lord, and friend. He first conceived and thought me, and then with skill he wrought me. And filled with love, the Lord above came to this world and sought me. Although I fell, I'll gladly tell, Christ reached beneath and caught me. Since that alone was not enough, with blood the Savior bought me. Now at his feet I take a seat and heed all he has taught me. About his Father's house above, where I'll be because he brought me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being with Joshua as he had to take the torch and lead the people of Israel. Thank you that you were with Moses and he gave the world the precious words of God. Thank you, Lord, that you were with Mary and that you're with every humble person who kneels at the cross. I pray that if there's someone here today who somehow is still holding out on you, that they would come to their senses and not leave this place without you. Help them to put their faith and trust in the one to want to know is to have life eternal. I pray that you would bless this assembly. I pray that you would continue to use it to share the message of hope and life to a world that desperately needs to know him as Lord and Savior. And I pray that we would, with all of our hearts, want to be with you and to praise you and serve you as your children forever. Go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.